Welcome to the Caltex Theater, a full hour of dramatic entertainment broadcast over a nationwide network of stations throughout Australia. The Caltex Theater is brought to you by Caltex Oil, marketers of over 1,000 outstanding petroleum products, in association with Caltex dealers and distributors everywhere. But for tonight only, the sponsors of the Caltex Theater have graciously allowed Hunter Douglas Australia Proprietary Limited to be your hosts, to present a dramatization of the winning novel in the Luxaflex £500 Literary Quest, which was conducted in association with the Luxaflex Book of the Month radio series. It is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. A.C. Pond, Managing Director of Hunter Douglas Australia Proprietary Limited, marketers of Luxaflex Twiniter Venetians and Luxaflex Aluminium Awnings, the sponsors of the Luxaflex £500 Literary Quest. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Pond.
Thank you. I'm privileged to have the honour of announcing the winner of the Luxaflex £500 Literary Quest. You may remember that when our company sponsored the Luxaflex Book of the Month, we launched a literary quest to give encouragement to Australian writers. The response to this competition was most enthusiastic, and we would like to thank everyone who submitted an entry. The standard and the literary quality were particularly high, offering further proof, if this was needed, that Australian writers can hold their own with the best in the world. Now, here is the judge's decision. Out of more than 100 novels submitted for the Luxaflex Award, many of considerable merit, the two the judges considered best were The Big Smoke, by Darcy Nyland, and Return to Tenderness by Norma Hanford. As the three judges were unable to decide between these two entries, the £500 Luxaflex Literary Award is accordingly divided equally between Darcy Nyland and Norma Hanford.
Thank you, Mr. Pond. Mr. Pond will present the checks, each of £250, to the winning authors towards the end of this program. Now, here is Mr. Douglas Stewart of the Bulletin, one of the judges of the Luxaflex Literary Award.
Thank you. The judges of the Luxaflex Literary Award were Miss Beatrice Davis of Angus and Robertson, Mr. Ian Mackay, production manager of the Macquarie Broadcasting Service, and myself. On their behalf, I would like to extend my congratulations to the competitors for the exceptionally high literary standard that was shown in this competition. Each entry was carefully read, discussed, and finally judged. When we had narrowed the entries down to three, and then to two, we reached a deadlock. We found it impossible to decide between them. The Big Smoke, by the well-known Sydney writer Darcy Nyland, and Return to Tenderness by Norma Hanford, whose entry reached us from the Brisbane suburb of Woolowin, were two novels so entirely different in their settings, their methods, and their final effect, that we found it difficult to evaluate one against the other. And since each novel was equally good in its own field, we had no alternative but to divide the prize between Darcy Nyland and Norma Hanford. This was the unanimous decision of the judges. We feel confident that both novels will be published and will bring further honour to these two brilliant authors. Our congratulations to the winners.
The marketers of Luxaflex Twiniter Venetians and Luxaflex Aluminium Awnings now take pleasure in presenting a dramatization of an excerpt from The Big Smoke by Darcy Nyland.
Come on, you old haybag, get up. The big smoke's starting on its day. Can't you hear it? Oh, to be alive in this year at base 1909. Get up, my lady. Lying there in your burrow while your bath is running full of perfume water and heaps of pink crystal salts and the maid waiting to dress you. Get up and into your boudoir slippers, Madame Olga. Your slippers lined with dew or ostrich stuff. And snugger on your tootsies in the pelt on a sheep's back. Mm. Ah. Oh, that's the way, my lady. Yes?
You, Mrs. Chapel?
That's right, love. Off the room, are you?
Yes. I saw the ad.
Well, come right in. Sit down, I'm just having a cuppa. You'll have one, won't you?
Thanks.
Be ready in a minute. This isn't Buckingham Palace.
I'm not used to Buckingham Palace.
Come from Sydney?
Coffs Harbour first. Lismore, Mwillimbah, Coolangatta, Brisbane, then Sydney. I've knocked around a bit.
You've kept your figure with it.
Thanks.
All right, the room's yours, you want it. 2 and 6 a week. What's your name?
Milsey Radford.
Milsey, eh? Mm-hmm. You don't hear that much. Got a job?
No, but I will get one.
Won't have much trouble. Not with a figure like that.
Well, here's your money. I'll take the room.
Well, say it.
I didn't think you might take me.
Good heavens, and why not? Because you've got a touch of the tar brush?
Yes.
Oh, what's wrong with that? You're a human being the way I see it. Listen, dearie. You know the nicest fellow I ever knew was as black as Satan's heart. And you know how black that is.
He was?
Met him on when I was on the board, so. He's played gum leaf in a vaudeville show that did the country towns and... Oh. You wouldn't even been a twinkle in your father's eye then. Yeah. Clary Hubert, that was his name. How dark are you, but a gentleman. Oh, well, the kettle's boiling.
I'm going to like being here, Mrs. Chapel.
Ruby, that's the name, love. Ruby. Nobody's called Mrs. Chapel for years. Devil, how could she like it? It's spinning off all over the ceiling, tied old wallpaper that'll give anyone the willies. Who can blame her if she's up most nights?
The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven.
What's upon... the quality of mercy got to do with it?
You possess it, Ruby, in abundance.
No, I understand, Milsey. Not that she's got much chance, poor little devil.
Ah, the vanity of the world. Selling her birthright for a mess of pottage.
Ah, break it down, Jeff. Come on, love, give us a drink.
The uncertain comfort of the grape.
That's more like it.
It's a sad thing to see a young person treading the primrose path to destruction.
Joe Halley, listen to me. You and I have got the past to think about. You have a few snorts and before you know it, you're Henry V or Hamlet. You've got all the good old days sewn up in a bag. I'm on the boards again, kicking up my legs for the old men in the stalls. But not Milsey. She's got no good old days. Don't be too hard on her, Joe.
I like her, Ruby, believe me. But I have concern for her in this jungle of a city.
Yeah. I get worried about her myself. But what can anyone do about it? She's made the way she is, Joe. It's not my place to interfere.
Poor little girl.
Can I sit with you, Ruby?
Ah, of course you can, love. No work today?
I'll go after dinner.
Well, I'm going to make some scone. You can work.
Something wrong?
Old man's at me again.
What old man?
Oh, the pain in my chest. Well, that's how I think of it. An old man taking bending exercises, getting caught like a jam jackknife, and then straight like mad, straight up. Ooh, that's better. Stinking old cow.
I feel awful.
Do you, love?
Ruby, do you think I ought to get a doctor?
Not yet, dearie.
But I do feel terrible, honest. Like I'm going to die. You think maybe I've got a fever or something?
You mean to tell me you don't know what's the matter with you?
No.
To put it straight, Milsey, you're going to have a baby.
A baby? But I don't want it. I know you don't want it.
Oh, now, listen, it's not going to be so bad. Women are having babies every day.
But didn't you hear what I said? I don't want it.
You'll change your tune. There's your son.
Let me see. So that's what he looks like.
He's a little beauty, this kid. Some father he must have had.
Yes. Some father.
Look at those arms. And what about those legs?
I'll tell you his father, Ruby. Mr. Jack Johnson, that's who.
The boxer?
Mr. Jack Johnson.
That great black devil who slaughtered poor Tommy Burns? Oh, I lost half a quid because of that fella.
That's the father.
My. Well, I wouldn't have believed it.
You think Mr. Jack Johnson will like his son?
Couldn't help it, I don't think. What are you going to call him?
What do you think?
Now, can I do with a snorter?
And richly merited.
Oh. Never want to go through that again.
Ruby. Do you believe it?
Believe? Believe what?
What she says about Jack Johnson.
Oh, no, I don't believe it. Even now, you've only got to look at him. That kid's Australian, through and through.
As I thought. His ancestors dead and buried in the shifting wastes of the centre or under the bottommost rubble of the city.
Poor little devil.
The boy?
No. No, Milsey. She's got a brazen sort of pride that... Ah, oh, well. It's not for me to go inquiring, you do. She's made her mind, Hallie. Jack Johnson. That's what she's calling the kid.
And what is she going to do?
Hope she stays with me. She and little Jackie. Take you for a nice ride in the tram to Centennial Park. See the day.
Jackie, get out of my way. You think I've got nothing else to do all day except go running after you? Jackie!
There now. Does Auntie Ruby's boy like the ferry boat?
I Jack Johnson's boy.
That's right, lovey. You're Auntie Ruby's boy, too. See the pretty seagulls? Get out, you little stinkers. Get away from here. Haven't you got any home? Get. Oh, now, Jackie, let me look at you. Oh, a bloody nose.
poor little tear in my trousers.
And you tried to fight them. You're so little to fight, don't you know that? You're all grunt and swing.
I fight.
Oh, no, you don't. Not while I'm looking after you. Not while your mother's out at work. You don't go out on the street no more, you hear?
Yes, Auntie Ruby.
Where is he?
I think you ought to take it quietly, Milton.
I heard what happened. Where's Jackie?
He's all right. He's in your room.
Jackie!
Hallie, you better go. Leave this to me.
Yes, I do believe you're right. I'll see you later.
Get in there, you hear me?
Auntie gave me noise.
It's a pity I didn't kill you running away. You've been told to stay off the streets, now I'm going to smack you. Now, didn't I tell you?
What makes you so tough about it?
What do you mean?
Is he going to get down as much as that?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ah, oh, forget it. We won't fight, Milsie. Let's have a cup of tea.
Oh, shut up! Get back in your room! I can't stand it! I could murder him. That's what I could do.
Oh, it's all over now. I'll put the kettle on.
Oh, that little... Oh,
cool down, I said. It's all over.
Yeah.
Listen, love, he's only your baby. You like him, don't you?
Well, that's a silly question. Of course I do.
He won't go away no more. I'll see that he doesn't. You needn't worry.
Needn't I worry?
You know, we'll see kids to some women are a millstone. They want to do things, go to places, live as they want to live. Kids hold them back. They hold them back a lot, I hear.
They do, too.
Well, I wouldn't know. Lost my birth. I went through hell and never even got a drink of water at the end of it. So, I wouldn't know.
Well, I'd hate to have any more.
Know what's the matter with you?
What?
You're lonely.
I'm not lonely.
Well, I am, and I admit it.
You would never think so.
Yeah, maybe not. What have I got? My future's behind me. All the evidence of it. The record, the chronicle. It's all in that old trunk in there.
You mean...
Cutting, scrapbooks, pictures. Life I had in the theatre. I'm lonely for what I used to be, Milsie. You're lonely for what you want to be. Oh, well, I'm alone, I suppose. The world is full of lonely women. And I can get quite so lonely as a woman. No man, anyway.
No.
Women are always thinking about cause and effect. In fact, a lot of them think of the effect first and then bring about the cause. They worry and they fear. They suffer fear more than any man. It's deeper. Fear of never being wanted. Never being loved. Fear of losing children. Fear of old age. Fear of being alone. Fear of never getting done the things they want to do. And time slipping away.
I've never heard you talk like that before.
Oh, that's always the first time for everything.
You've always been so cheerful, solid. I've always thought that you...
Thought what?
Oh, nothing. It doesn't matter.
Jackie, stop crying now.
Ruby, how are you feeling? Oh, I mean the pain in your chest.
Oh, I never think about it.
If you really got sick...
I'll go and see if Jackie's asleep. I wouldn't want him to lie there without being covered up.
Sit down, Mrs. Chappell.
Doctor, I came here a week ago and you told me to come back.
Yes, exactly. I needed time to examine the plates I'd made.
I came here today to get the truth out of you, and I don't want anything else.
What you think, Mrs. Chappell, is right. I'm sorry.
Sorry? What are you sorry for? People trooping into this room of yours like ants. Do you know one ant from another? Isn't the same for you with each one that shows his face? How long?
3 months.
All right. 3 months.
Mrs. Chappell, before you go,
You can say you saw me. I used to be invaudable on the stage. Aren't you wriggled? Me and the fancy gents were like that. I had a name, I did. I had a name.
Mrs. Chappell, I...
Three months. All right, you big Sydney. Now you got it how you want it. You got no time for the poor dying wretch that put your name in headlines and tell your fame around the world for good or bad. Sling off the necklace when it breaks and the top hat when it gets a smut on it. Wear it when it flashes, when it's shiny and new. And after that, you've got no use for it. Sydney, you've got to be top dog, haven't you? You've got to have money jingling in your ears. You show them the jingle of the good time. Where the comedians that bring the crowds pouring in the doors and the singers and the dancing girls. The legs that are nice and pink with flesh. And they're good to you when they're out to sea.
Ruby.
What? Ah. Well, Joe Halley.
Are you all right, Ruby?
Buy me a drink, Joe. I can do this, Norda. Hasn't beaten me, Joe. I'm a match for it yet.
What hasn't beaten you?
Sydney. The big snope.
Eh?
Remember old Lizzie Lombardi? She had legs men dreamed of. Let her go around with wrinkled stockings sagging around her ankles. The coatman from the Benevolent Society. She had a fourpenny dark, its worst fire water. She did a lot for it, Joe. She gave it a fair go, same as I did. Not a given us.
Look, Ruby, if there is something wrong...
I could have
looked
at myself in that shop window. Oh, what a shock. Were you ever a girl, I asked myself? How did you ever grow into this? How did you ever fit among the faces of Kate Bishop, Maggie Moore, and Ellis Stewart? What became of you? Which couldn't have changed any better.
Maybe you need another drink.
No, I've got things to do, a lot of things to think about. Thanks, Joe. You've been a pal.
Ruby, wait a moment.
See you, Joe. Why do you die when you know about it? You're not supposed to know about it. It's supposed to creep up on you, hit you. You've got no right to be given a time limit. It costs money to die. Makes trouble for a lot of people. Yeah, this is the best. Chuck yourself off a wharf. Make sure you don't come up. Get some bricks inside your clothes. Make sure you don't come up.
Here, what are you up to?
Who are you? Now, why don't you leave me alone?
Ah, now, come on. You're not going to be silly. Where do you live?
Live, did you say? Let me go, will you? Mind your own business.
Not that bad, lady, surely. Well, maybe I can help. Can I?
No.
I'll take you home. Come on, now.
You all right now?
Sure.
Yeah. You want to come in for a cup of tea or something?
No, thanks. What's your name?
Never mind. You forget about me.
Mine's Young Frosty. That's what they call me anyway.
Goes to the air. Keep it like that, sonny. No dice for you.
I'm a steeplejack. I work way up in the sky with all of Sydney spread out beneath it. Ah, it's a fine city.
Yeah. Don't hold against me, Frosty. Getting scandal to you. Good night.
Good night. Hey, look after yourself.
Is that you, Ruby?
Hallie! What are you doing here?
I was worried about you the way you went off. Young Jackie's asleep in there.
Where's Milsey?
She's not here. Ruby, there's a note for you.
She's gone, Joe. Not surprised. There's some women, kids are a millstone around their neck. She's afraid they'd get really sick and take to my bed. Then she'd have to look after both of us. She wouldn't be able to work then. She wouldn't be able to do the things she wants to do. I'm not surprised she's gone. Let's have a look at Jackie. Looks so trusting. Doesn't he, lying there? I know. It's funny. You think there's nobody to care, but I suppose there's always someone to need you. Joe, there are things we've got to talk about.
And so the curtain falls on a dramatization of one of the exciting sequences from Darcy Nyland's prize-winning novel, The Big Smoke.
Next time you fill your tank with gasoline, fill up with new power, new performance, new economy. Fill up with Caltex butane-boosted gasoline. That's the gasoline made to take better care of your car's performance. Designed for today's faster pace. Caltex butane-boosted gasoline at the sign of the Caltex star, where we take better care of your car.
Now the marketers of Twiniter patent Venetians and Luxaflex aluminium awnings present a dramatization of an excerpt from Return to Tenderness by Norma Hanford.
That's your plane out there, Therese.
Yes, nearly time.
Good luck and good fun wherever you go. Not too much fun, though. I'll be trying my luck with you again in 13 months. My intention is being honorable.
Why 13 months in particular?
My leave's due then.
Oh?
That's if the Malayans don't boot us all out come independent.
Mick, what will happen to Sunyat?
Sunyat? He'll be shot.
Oh. There was something to respect there, Mick.
Of course. He's a bad lot, though. Top terrorist from way back. Caught in the jungle from the time when the Jap was the enemy. Never knew anything else.
Not till he met Pearl. When would it be?
The execution? Pretty soon.
I wish your men had shot him 2 nights ago when we came down to the hills. It would have been kinder.
If we'd known who he was, we probably would have, but not out of kindness.
Mick, do you think he... does he know about Pearl? I mean, that for him it was... all such a waste.
Well, I'm darn sure no one would trouble to tell him. And questions from captured hardcore terrorists aren't exactly encouraged.
I suppose it was a waste.
Hmm? You're a strange girl, Harris. After all that's happened, all you've lost yourself, you fret about Pearl and Sunyat.
Perhaps I'm wondering if it was all a waste for me, too. Mick, do you mind if I go out to the plane now?
Sure, I understood.
Goodbye, Nick. Thanks.
Au revoir, Missy Hospital.
Missy Hospital. That almost did it, Nick. From now on, I'm playing Dr. Fair again. As I was a year and more ago when I flew into Malaya. As now, in full retreat, I'm flying out. Missy Hospital. Right from the first they call me that. In the swarming villages and the hills on the rubber estate of Bukit Jasmine. Right from the beginning, when Clive Cunningham of Bukit Jasmine was no more than my aloof employer. And you, as district officer, my first real friend.
I won't think of Clive, not yet. Easier to remember Pearl and a high, clear child's voice calling Missy Hospital. Or is it so easy to remember Pearl?
You'll have to drive to the Kampongs from your quarters in the rest house, Doctor, and the tracks still aren't safe. Besides, you'll need an interpreter till you get the hang of the language.
But who is Pearl, Mr. McGrath?
The Chung's only daughter. They're your new boss's house servant. Oh, there she is. Pearl! Pearl!
I'm here, Tuan.
Then come here. Pearl, you know who this lady is?
Yes, Tuan. This is new Missy Hospital.
Well, Missy Hospital speak little Malay. Soon, Missy speak good Malay. For now, I want you to go with Missy every day in her car. Tell Kampong women what Missy say. Tell Missy what Kampong women say to her. Understand?
Yes, Tuan. Pearl tell Missy all words, Tuan.
That's the shot. Okay, I'll fix it up with Tuan Cunningham.
Thank you very much, Pearl. I'll be glad of your help.
I help Missy Hospital. I help good.
All right, cut along.
Yes, Tuan.
She's work shy and as devious as a hatful of monkeys, but she'll stick for a few dollars and some of your pretty clothes now and then.
I remember.
She certainly stuck to Frankie. Goes over to Poilorire practically every weekend.
Frankie?
Clive Cunningham's wife. I suppose you know she cleared off and left him.
So that's why he's so...
Yes, he took it pretty hard. Frankie's a stunner and tremendous fun. Could have knocked me over with a feather when she went off with that so-and-so Chad Well.
Well, Mr. Cunningham was my boss and this is none of my business. I really think we'd better go back to discussing Pearl. Pearl's a bloodthirsty little creature, Mr. Cunningham. The intense interest she shows in the core of an inflammation has to be seen to be believed.
Perhaps she'd like to train as a nurse, Dr. Friar.
I suggested it. Her response was a bit defeating. I couldn't be convinced she has the call.
No?
No. When she heard it took 4 years, she promptly lost interest. She said by that time she'd be too old to be a taxi girl.
By the time those straight-laced Changs agreed to her being a taxi girl, she'd be too old anyway. Well, what's the matter, Doctor?
Nothing. It's just that I don't think I ever heard you laugh before.
Oh, good Lord. Have I been as bad as that? Incidentally, Mick McQuaid tells me you went across to the Kampong alone this morning.
Well, Pearl hadn't come back from her weekend at Pearl...
At Prawler Isle? I'm well aware that Pearl spends her weekends with my wife. The point is, you mustn't take chances when you go on your rounds.
Well, I understood this area had been declared white, Mr. Cunningham.
You can't be certain. Officially, the terrorists have been driven north, but then there could be isolated groups or individuals up there in the hills who've been cut off and can't get away. They're like monkeys, you know. They can live off the jungle indefinitely. And they're as dangerous as cobras.
Then I doubt if Pearl would be much protection if I met one.
Even Pearl can use a gun while you drive like blazes. Bear that in mind, Doctor. When you're out on that jungle road, don't stop the car for anyone or anything.
Wise words. But I did stop the car that very afternoon. What is it? What do you want?
Missy Toto, you come. Sick people in the jungle.
Where are they?
Inside, not far. You come.
Oh,
you will have no susokan. Missy Toto will come to no harm. This promise.
Well, I should think not. All right, take me to them.
You follow. You come.
The big one could be Sunyat. Yes. No, I don't suppose they will hang about, but three of them were in a bad way. Good hunting. Sure you're all right, Harry.
Oh, yes, Mick, they didn't molest me.
And where the devil was Pearl when all this happened?
Away for the weekend.
The little... Look, Harrys, I don't want to scare you, but this could happen again. I'll have a darn good talk to Pearl when... What is he, Frankie Cunningham?
Hmm?
There she is, right across the road.
Mrs. Cunningham? I shouldn't do this.
Even scientific females are allowed to be normally curious, my sweet. There. Told you she was a stunner, didn't I?
Yes.
That's the boyfriend with her. Chad Waller. Customs patrol officer from here to the port. Wouldn't trust him a yard myself, but he certainly made the grade with Frankie.
But he looks...
Yes. Yes, he is. Waller's Eurasian. As you see, there's nothing furtive about the setup.
Well, there should be. It's a wicked thing to destroy a man's pride. She could at least pretend and save Clive's pride. I wonder why he doesn't.
Doesn't break Waller's vertebrae just below the ears? He practically did when he first found out, before Frankie cleared out and went to live on Poilaria.
Oh, so close. Well, that's unforgivable, too.
It's Frankie's private island, you know. Clive gave her Poilaria as a wedding present.
And she... Oh, he must loathe her.
Clive? On the contrary, I think he's still in love with her. That's by way of warning, Harrys. Clive's a one-woman man.
I thought I knew better, didn't I, Mick? I was sure I was healing Clive's wounds as I healed beriberi or the ulcers on a rubber tapper shin. And when Clive decided to divorce Frankie because he wanted to marry me, I was sure then... But it's Pearl I'm remembering. Pearl at 18, with a slender child's body. And the woman in her ripe for life. Restless for the towns, wanting... She knew not what. Pearl came with me on the night when I answered a call to the ramshackle hut in the paddy field. And for the second time, unawares, tended a sick henchman of the terrorist, Sun Yat.
Do not cry out. Come. No. Answer.
You let me go?
Oi, Missy Doctor. Waiting hot.
Missy Seaman very sick. Cannot be left.
Men die?
Perhaps he die. He bandit. You bandit from here. You bandit. Chief bandit.
Long time in the hills. Many moons.
Ah?
Long time since pretty hell.
Pearl came back to the hut alone, but she didn't speak then, and she didn't speak later. Sun Yat went back to the jungle in the hills, waiting and watching with his terrible patience for a chance to escape. And then it came. Every week, hidden above the cliffs, Sun Yat would watch as the customs officer toured the coast in his high-powered launch, on the watch for smugglers. And Sun Yat knew much of the Eurasian customs officer. Knowledge gained from the villagers he bribed and coerced into bringing him food. Sun Yat would lure Chad Waller ashore, kill him, steal his yaunch, and make for Sumatra. The plan worked perfectly, save for one thing.
If you wanted to hijack my boat, you should have waited till I'd filled my petrol tank at Tanjung Asin.
Tank near empty.
You were expecting to escape to Sumatra in this?
Hold this, I kill you!
You wouldn't have had a hope. If this launch was seen heading out to sea, the police would be alongside before it passed the lighthouse.
I chose dark night.
Look, if you'll give yourself
a... Keep hands in there!
Okay.
You think you win reward for capture abandoned, you? You will not live to enjoy it, customs officer. But it is not necessary for you to die. Rewards, too, can be paid to help my escape.
Wait a minute.
You bring food and arrange escape customs officer. When you arrange a sum equal to what I now give you, will be paid. You'll be rich.
Well,
I am taken. You responsible. You die.
Do I have any choice?
No. No. You take me to island of Puala Aya.
Pearl, wait. Come here.
Missy Hospital?
Are you... Pearl, are you going to be married?
No, Missy Hospital.
All right, then you've got to let me help you. How long, Miss?
4 months. Nearly 5.
Oh, Pearl. Oh, don't look like that. As if you're 100 years old.
I go now, Missy. Mem Cunningham.
No, not till you promise me something. Pearl promised me that when your mother comes back, when she knows, and she'll know in a day or so, that you'll come to me and let me help you. Now, will you promise that?
Yes, Missy. Now, please, you let me go?
Pearl was Chinese, reared by Chinese of the old school. And many a Chinese girl had walked into the waters and never come back. Was that what she planned when she left the house on Kuala Aya and climbed the track up the cliffs towards the heavy jungle where no one ever came, where no one would see? No one but Soon Yat.
I make you laugh. This good. Good.
You, my wife?
I am your wife, Sonia.
Mother of my son.
After 4 moons, I will be mother of your son.
My son.
Oh, Sonia, can we trust the customs officer?
No. But the customs officer, Pig, will do as I tell him. Because he is greedy and because he is afraid.
We will be safe in Sumatra when our son is born.
We will be safe in Sumatra when he is born. Tonight, child not come. Tomorrow at dawn, launch come. Tomorrow is time. Why child not come?
Something wrong. Sonia, I die.
No, no. Child come tonight.
I die. Go. Bring me to the hospital.
This madness.
Bring me to the hospital, come. Say she come to help. Promise me she come.
No, Pearl.
Only Missy Hospital can help. Go or I bring no baby.
This madness. Go to village when tomorrow at dawn. Launch.
Go or I die. Go. Bring Missy Hospital or I die.
Chang, close the shutters. Chang. Oh, I'll do it. Who's there? Who's outside there?
Molly Law. It's the hospital. Ganga, Pearl sick. Ask for your doctor.
Pearl? You're mad. Pearl's dead, drunk.
Pearl in jungle cave in Polar Isle. Maybe come too soon. Pearl very sick. Say she die. Say you come.
Who are you?
Missy come to jungle once time with me. Missy not come to her.
You're the terrorist. You're... Oh!
You come quick. And you're not phone. Come now, Bing Ka. And if God that did ask questions, God die. Pell say you promise come help. You promise.
Yes, I'll come. How on earth can we get her down those hills? Is there something to carry her? You, where are you?
I, for you. Baby, come soon. It is almost done.
The baby won't come naturally now or else. We must get her to hospital.
A hospital? No, Missy. You bring baby here.
I told you it's impossible. You'd be lucky to save her life or the child's. Oh, could you rig up some sort of sling and get her down on your back? I'll help you steady
her. Hospital, no.
Yes, or she'll die like the old man and all the others.
12 moons I hide. Let beast starve. And no, I leave her. I go. Don't come. I go.
Leave her like this. And the child. It's your child, isn't it? Isn't it?
Is she in hospital?
Yes, Pearl, I'm here. I came as I promised.
Sunyat bring you?
Yes. Sunyat brought me.
Husband. Husband.
Oh, she's collapsed. She'll die. Can't you see?
Dawn. Come in.
Did you hear what she called you? She loves you and she trusts you. Listen to me. Listen.
When it is light, we go to bottom of hill. We will make sling for my wife. Take care to where your car waits. Then I leave. First, you promise if I have luck in the escape.
Yes, yes.
You will say nothing of me that I came to you. And no word for 24 hours. It is agreed?
Yes, I agree.
When I am safe, I send for her. You tell her I send for her. In for my son.
But they are waiting for us, Sunyat. At the foot of the hill, at the bridge. Waiting by the car, Mick and the police, where they'd waited all night. And they took you easily, Sunyat, with Pearl heavy across your back. And the warning shot Mick fired warned Chad Waller, too, snapping the tension of his waiting nerves. Chad cast off and steered the launch out to the open sea in crazy flights, while they took you so easily. Had they told you that Pearl died, Sunyat? Both Pearl and your son. That it was all such a waste. Or was it a waste? What I saw in your eyes when you looked at Pearl is something I never had. Never saw in Clive's eyes. Because it belonged to Frankie. Just as Clive belongs to Frankie. What he offered me was second best, and I know it now. And I'm flying out. But for you, Sunyat, was Pearl the trap that cost you your life? Or the only real life you ever knew? Your return to the ranks of men, Sunyat. Your return to tenderness.
So ends our Luxaflex program, a spectacular presentation of the two prize-winning novels in the Luxaflex £500 literary quest. In a moment, we will give you tonight's casts and Mr. A.C. Pond, Managing Director of Hunter Douglas Australia Proprietary Limited, will present checks of £250 each to the winning authors. This summer, your home will be definitely smarter on the outside, cooler on the inside, if you install Luxaflex aluminium awnings. Luxaflex aluminium awnings make your home up to 20 degrees cooler inside, and with their unique light channeling, permit a maximum reflection of light. Luxaflex awnings actually let in 30 to 65% more light than any other awnings. Therefore, we suggest you visit your favorite retailers tomorrow and see the full range of Luxaflex aluminium awnings, these wonderful contributions to cooler living. There are many reasons why Luxaflex aluminium awnings are considered to be the best that man can make or that money can buy. Luxaflex aluminium awnings can be used for windows, doorways, patios, carports, and there's a style and color combination to suit every type of home. Whether you prefer the fixed awnings or the roll-up awnings, Luxaflex aluminium awnings will bring extra comfort and beauty to your home. Ladies and gentlemen, the producer of tonight's plays, Cressick Jenkinson.
Thank you. The sequence from The Big Smoke was adapted for radio by Richard Lane, and that from Return to Tenderness was adapted by Kay Keaveney. The leading roles of Ruby Chapel and Harry's were both played by our star, Sheila Sewell. In the supporting cast of The Big Smoke, you heard as Milsey Radford, Jeanette Craig, as Joe Halley, Jeffrey King, as Jackie Johnson, Ray Hartley, as the Doctor, Tom Farley, as Young Frosty, Brian Anderson. And in the supporting cast of Return to Tenderness, you heard as Pearl, Wynne Nelson, as Sun Yat, Keith Buckley, as Mick McQuaid, Walter Sullivan, as Clive Cunningham, Moray Powell, and as Chad Waller, Gordon Chater.
Thank you, Mr. Jenkinson. Now, here is Mr. Pond to say something about the two prize winners in the Luxaflex £500 literary quest.
First of all, I would like to thank and congratulate the three judges, Miss Beatrice Davis, Mr. Douglas Stewart, and Mr. Ian Mackay, for the splendid job they have done in judging this literary competition. They spent many weeks in evaluating each entry before they reached their decision, and then, after many discussions and rereading the novels, they finally came to the unanimous decision that the award had to be shared. And I think it is appropriate at this time for me to announce that interest in publishing both prize-winning novels has been expressed in England and America. As Mr. Darcy Nyland's novel was the first to be dramatized in tonight's presentation, I think I should present the first check of £250 to the other author who shared the first prize. The winning entry was received under the name of Malcolm Morrison, which is the pen name of Norma Hanford, author of a number of popular books, including some well-loved stories for children. We understand that Mrs. Hanford is at present in England. She has been advised by cable of her success, and her cheque, together with the congratulations and best wishes of Hunter Douglas Australia Proprietary Limited, will be sent to her tomorrow. The other prize winner is the well-known Sydney author, Mr. Darcy Nyland. Unfortunately, Mr. Nyland is unable to be with us on this occasion, but we are very pleased to welcome his wife, who needs no introduction as Ruth Park, a top-selling novelist in her own right. I would like you, Mrs. Nyland, to accept my congratulations on behalf of your husband, and I hope that this competition will do even more to enhance the splendid reputation that he has already gained in literary circles all over the world. Here is our cheque for £250, and again, my congratulations and best wishes to your husband for future success in his literary career.
Thank you, Mr. Pond. This makes me very proud, especially as The Big Smoke is my favourite Nyland novel to date.
Thank you, Mr. Pond and Mrs. Nyland. Tonight's spectacular presentation of the two novels that shared the first prize in the £500 Luxaflex Literary Award was presented by Hunter Douglas Australia Proprietary Limited, marketers of Luxaflex Twinighter Venetian Blinds and Luxaflex Aluminium Awnings. And this presentation was made possible by the courtesy of the sponsors of the Caltex Theatre, who will again bring you a full hour of dramatic entertainment at the same time next week. Now this is your compere, Rick Hutton, bidding you good night on behalf of your hosts of the evening, Hunter Douglas, Australia Proprietary Limited.